Blessed be the name of the Lord forever.
Praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever.
From the rising of the setting to the sun is the name of the Lord to be praised. High above all nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Who is like the Lord our God, who looks upon the heavens and the earth below? He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Alleluia. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord. Lips.
While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to start off by saying, do you got a minute? But the scriptures today, I think that would have to be something like, you got an hour? But these readings really focus us in on the fact that there is a richness in our tradition in the revelation that has been given to us. And that makes me think about the word relativism. How many of you have heard the word relativism? Most of you, I would think. Relativism is not something about all our relatives. Relativism is kind of the culture that we live in today that seems to suggest that my truth and your truth and anybody else's truth is just as good. Maybe you have a real family, but I know I got a real family, and sometimes they're not all on board with Catholic teaching. And sometimes they want to say this, "Oh, come on, you got that thing from the church and that's your truth, but really I think something different and that's just as good as what the church thinks. My truth is as good as yours." In our scriptures today, we have many, many foundations from our tradition that we could bring forward here and talk about. We could talk about the two children that we hear about from Abraham. We could talk about Jonah. We could talk about the Queen of Ophir, the Queen of the South that comes to hear Solomon speak. All of these are wonderful aspects of our church teaching. Maybe it makes us think like, it's not so important to know these things. I think that the reason why sometimes our family and friends struggle with relativism is because sometimes we summarize too much in our church teaching. Rather than kind of know some of the good details, we just come along and say, "Look, the church says this and you gotta follow it." And what they say to that is, "That sounds like Joe Kraft's idea. If you've got your idea, I've got mine. Let's just keep our own ideas and let's not try to push each other around." Maybe let's take, for example, the church teaching. Let's say the church teaching on divorce. I say the church revelation has shown us that couples are stay together from the beginning. Once they say I do, from natural, that moment when they say yes, till death do they part. Sometimes people want to come up to me after a marriage falls apart and says, not that big of a deal, Padre. If I just kind of say to them, the church teaching is this, it really doesn't help them understand what that has to do with their life. But if I would kind of help them understand that from the beginning, a couple's love is like an icon of God's love for us, and that married people are called to be that icon of God's permanent and faithful love in the world. Just the same as the religious and priests don't get married now in this world because they're an icon of the relationship that we'll have with God in heaven. We're saving our marriage for heaven because that's what heaven will be like. We're icons of what heaven is like, but so are married people. They're an icon of the kind of permanent and faithful love we'll have in heaven, and that the kind of God love that God has for us. If we could talk a little bit about that, and a little bit about the fact that from the beginning, God showed this love for Israel to show us that his love is permanent and faithful. If we could talk about that and then help couples understand that what they're doing is really showing themselves to be an icon of heaven, that the church has taught from the very beginning that we have from Revelation, and then we could go through and talk about several church documents. If we could do all that, maybe we would help people understand that it's not just my idea, but it's revelation. It's God's knowledge that he shared with us for our good. So today, as we hear about all these teachings about Abraham's two children, we hear about the Queen of Ophir, we hear about Nineveh and Jonah, it would be good for us to get to know some of those things. Did y'all see that sign out there that talks about Bible study? I think that's one way that we could do this. So this homily was a kind of a commercial to encourage Catholics to get to know our faith, so that once we know it a little bit, we'll be better at being disciples. And that's what we got at our baptism, was to be witnesses of God's love and mercy in the world. So just like Jonah was a witness, and Jesus said, there's even something greater here, but he was a great witness. The Queen of Ophir was a witness. Let us today, and also Teresa of Avila, let us today be reminded of our call to be witnesses and disciples of Jesus Christ in the world. And let's go about that with a purpose. Amen? Let us stand now and offer our prayers to our God, who offers us this chance to encounter him today.
For the church, that the Lord may guard and guide her to a deeper knowledge and love of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our elected officials and civic leaders, may God grant them the virtues necessary to protect all human life, from conception to natural death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all people enslaved by addiction, may the Lord provide them strength and healing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our faith community, that we may grow in holiness through Mary's intercession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who sleep in Christ, may they rejoice in eternal freedom and happiness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we present to you all of our prayers, those spoken aloud, the prayers we carry in our heart. We ask you to hear and answer them through Christ our Lord. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you. Fruit of the earth, work of human hands, it will become for us our bread of life. Blessed be God forever. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you. Fruit of the vine, work of human hands, it will become for us our spiritual drink. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. May our offerings, O Lord, be acceptable to your majesty, to whom the devoted service of Saint Teresa of Avila was pleasing in such great measure, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For in the saints who consecrated themselves to Christ for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, it is right to celebrate the wonders of your providence, by which you call human nature back to its original holiness and bring it to experience on this earth the gifts you promised in the new world to come. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more, giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be